Greetings. Welcome. Bienvenidos. Hola. Aloha. Wei ni hao. Namaste. Konnichiwa. Guten Tag. Bonjour. Half a day. Salam. Shalom. Peace. Now, go vegan. Well, from the left coast of the genetically mutated McNugget Pharmaceutical Vivisection Prison Industrial Complex, this is Go Vegan with Bob Linden. We celebrated our fifth anniversary a few months back. Go Vegan Texas, a show which patterned itself after this program, celebrates its fourth anniversary. My, how time flies, and that's on May 1st. And I'm going to co-host that program on May 1st, Go Vegan Texas, on the Pacifica outlet in Houston. This is Easter Sunday. Happy Easter Sunday. This is one of those holidays that unfortunately is not too happy for a number of animals. I can think of rabbits and chickens and pigs who might not be celebrating. Easter bunnies and Easter chicks become the unwanted day after Easter bunny and day after Easter chick, often dumped off at animal shelters or worse. And confined hens who can't even stretch a wing gave us our Easter eggs to color. And yeah, when they can no longer produce eggs, well, they give their lives too. And what's up with pig flesh being the traditional Easter holiday meal? How did that happen? That's actually a biblically forbidden food, one that Jesus would not approve. Yet yesterday, the day before Easter, is the biggest sales day at the Bee Vomit Glazed Pig Cadaver Store, also known as Honey Baked Ham, a bee vomit covered sham, I might say. And I don't just say that because...
new one. I know, you're going to be the hottest controversial vegan talk show host on the face of the planet.
No, I say it because it's true. I see all those people leaving Honey Baked Sham with those body bags, those bloody body bags. And then they're ready to make their stomachs the graveyards of those murdered innocents. And I think, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What would Jesus eat? Whom would Jesus eat? Babe? I don't think so. Pope Benedict was asked about animal rights when he was a cardinal. This was in 2002. At that time, he said, quote, "That is a very serious question. At any rate, we can see that they are given into our care, that we cannot just do whatever we want with them. Animals, too, are God's creatures, certainly a sort of industrial use of creatures so that geese are fed in such a way as to produce as large a liver as possible, or hens live so packed together that they become just caricatures of birds. This degrading of living creatures to a commodity seems to me, in fact, to contradict the relationship of mutuality that comes across in the Bible." The cardinal who would become pope also said, quote, "Animals are God's creatures. He surrounds them with his providential care. By their mere existence, they bless him and give him glory. Thus men owe them kindness. It is contrary to human dignity to cause animals to suffer or die needlessly." End quote. So what's with the pig eating for Easter? How did that happen? And what of this pig corpse eating? Well, let's go to the 1897 writing. So we've known about the health risks of pig eating for who knows how long. But now let's go back to the 19th century. Okay, not even the 20th century. And pig eating is... It's not even 20th century, huh? This is the 21st century. Wake up. So we go to the 1897 writing of one J.H. Kellogg, M.D., from Battle Creek, Michigan, who grew up in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, where he developed an interest in diet and health. Yes, Kellogg in Battle Creek, Michigan. There's a connection. Anyway, he developed a unique program of preventive medicine and natural cures, which made him famous worldwide. And with the eating of pig flesh, he warns of tapeworms, small creatures with a head and four suckers that grows in your intestines, sometimes found to grow to a length of 100 feet in human intestines. A single tapeworm has been known to produce 2 million eggs that can penetrate tissues throughout the body. They corkscrew their way into your tissues and have been found in all organs of the body. And they can cause life-threatening cysts to grow in the eyes. They can cause blindness. They're very dangerous when attacking the liver and causing a fatal disease when they do that. Dr. Kellogg talks of trichinosis and the worm that causes that. He examined the flesh of a human who died of it. And Dr. Kellogg said that under a microscope, we can see each individual worm in a little cyst or a sac, which is dissolved by gastric juice when taken into the stomach, liberating the worm to do its damage. And he says will produce in man an incurable disease, and all pig eaters are at risk as the worm cannot be seen without a microscope. Dr. Kellogg went on to list a number of other potential diseases from pig eating. He associated leprosy with it. And of course, we associate heart disease and cancer and stroke. And, you know, very often on this show, I talk metaphorically as in saying that, well, eating an animal is it's like a foreign substance invading your body. And very often my metaphors become literal, backed by science. And the University of California at San Diego had a research study a couple of years ago that said there's a sugar in animals, a sugar in pigs, that the human body treats as a foreign invader and responds with inflammation. So inflammation, arthritis, connection with cancer. So I don't know. So anyway, there you have our big pig-eating holiday, when, in fact, might it be that Jesus was a vegan animal rights activist? Well, coming up in a little bit on today's show, we'll talk to Rin Berry, the author historian, who examines vegetarianism from a historical perspective, and we'll examine whether Jesus was a vegan animal rights activist. And what about Muhammad? Huh? What about Moses? We will ask those questions today on Go Vegan with Bob Linden. And, we're at a new time in San Francisco on the Quake, AM 960. We'll be on Sunday nights at 9 o'clock every week from now on. So it's Sundays, 9 p.m. on the Quake. Wasn't there something in the Bible about not coveting your neighbor's possessions? And apparently somebody coveted our old time slot and maybe coveted it with more money to the station. I don't know. But anyway, so the station asked if it's at all possible that we take the 9 p.m. slot. Now the station is talking me into a year contract, which means now I have to beg you every week for the next year to help me pay for this. It's tax deductible. You know, when I bribe the station to allow this program to run, your donations are tax deductible, because Go Vegan Radio is a project of 501c3 International Humanities Center, and so your donation is deductible to the extent allowable by law. And this being the middle of April, you're probably concerned with those deductions to the extent that they are allowable by law. You can make your donation online at goveganradio.com, where the show is archived and where we podcast. And you can also mail your donation, make it payable to Go Vegan Radio, and send it to P.O. Box 40246, San Diego, California, 92164. So now we're on radio stations in Los Angeles and San Francisco, the internet. We're looking at some other opportunities, a potential in Seattle at some point. And I need your help to help fund this, because free speech is expensive. And believe it or not, we have to buy the airtime. And That's the way it goes. So if you can support the show with a donation, it would be greatly appreciated. It's the only way we can afford the airtime, through your donations and the advertising of sponsors and their vegan and cruelty-free products and services, which you hear on Go Vegan with Bob Linden. And I invite you to visit the sponsor page at goveganradio.com and definitely patronize the sponsors, the folks you hear on this show. You know, go out and buy another jar of Veginase or a jar of Vitamineral Green or the Nutru Omega Zen 3. We have a couple of books we're talking about. And still later in the hour, your offer for free food from Toby's Family Foods, Toby's tofu dip, the pate, very delicious. And I offer it to you for free. All you have to do is call 1-800-600-TOFU and demand your free pate from Toby's just because you're a listener of Go Vegan with Bob Linden. So I thank you for listening. I thank you for not eating or wearing animals. And coming up today on Go Vegan with Bob Linden again, was Jesus a vegan animal rights activist? Author and historian Rin Berry, coming up on Go Vegan Radio. Veginase is. No vegan kitchen should be without it. It dresses up even the simplest foods, like my favorite sandwich, avocado, tomato, and Veginase. Or is it mashed up chickpeas, celery, onions, and Veginase? Or a tofu burger with Veginase? Well, I do know I love it on baked or steamed yams. Well, you think you'd read about Veginase in a cookbook, it winning the American Tasting Institute Award? So I was surprised to see Veginase in a book about stroke prevention. Yet, there it is, page 194, in Stroke Free for Life by David Wiebers, M.D., Chair, Cerebrovascular Diseases, and Director, Stroke Research Center, Mayo Clinic. And who would know better about a Mayo alternative? Try Veginase, now in organic. Available at Follow Your Heart, Canoga Park, California, and natural food stores everywhere. Also from Follow Your Heart, vegan gourmet cheese alternatives. They melt. They're non-dairy, and you can have your pizza, enchiladas, nachos. And stop giving your family the bird with chicken-free chicken. And some wonderful vegan organic salad dressings come from Follow Your Heart. The vegan varieties include creamy miso ginger, balsamic vinaigrette, and Italian vinaigrette.
Why does Canada let the baby seals be killed? Shame on you, Canada.
Well, I'd like you to become aware of Health Force Nutritionals. This is a company that you can that really wants to make a difference in your life and your health and help you cleanse and heal and rejuvenate. Dr. Jameth Sheridan is an expert on health and an in-demand lecturer. He makes appearances on this show, and he wants vegans to be the healthiest people on earth, as they should be. So he has developed Vitamineral Green, containing 60 to 70% more superfoods, costing the same as others on the shelf, but offering significant nutritional advantages. It was designed to be the most nutrient-dense superfood ever offered. And you get a full spectrum of naturally occurring, absorbable, and non-toxic vitamins, minerals, including calcium and trace minerals. No synthetic or isolated nutrients. What you get from Vitamineral Green are all the essential amino acids. That's how you get your protein, antioxidants, fatty acids, chlorophyll, fiber, thousands of phytonutrients, and so much more. You don't get any of that from meat, do you? Visit healthforce.com to see. Healthforce.com, and you'll see the amazing ingredients. I mean, just look at some of them. Whole leaf barley grass and whole leaf wheatgrass, alfalfa leaf juice, broccoli juice, kale juice, spinach juice, nopal cactus, dandelion, burdock root. So healthy. Like 18 land vegetables, 2 aquatic vegetables, algae, probiotics, enzymes. So check it out. You're going to be impressed with Vitamineral Green. Go to the website, healthforce.com, where you can also read about greener grasses, a dense combination of nutritional grasses, truly natural vitamin C, digestion enhancement enzymes, non-GMO lecithin powder, and for your animal family members, green mush. Visit healthforce.com.
Giving the people animal burgers.
Well, that's a shame, but they're not doing that at Truly Vegan Restaurant. Hooray for Hollywood. It has a wonderful vegan restaurant called Truly, and it's conveniently located at Hollywood Boulevard, right there at the Hollywood Boulevard exit off the 101 at 5907 Bronson. And whether you're a Hollywood celeb or you just want to eat like one, Truly is for you. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, open till 10, and you got soups and salads and burgers and sandwiches and wraps and noodle dishes and curries and veggie meat entrees. Try the veggie sushi. It is spectacular. You'll love it. And Truly also caters and would be happy to do your next event. You can call 323-466-7958. Also call for delivery, 323-466-7958. That's Truly at 5907 Hollywood Boulevard.
Meat cuts life short. I don't want my life cut short or the animals.
That's for sure. We've had a wonderful guest on the show last week, Kim Sheridan, and we talked about her book that a lot of people are talking about, Animals and the Afterlife. It's the Forward Magazine Award winner, Book of the Year Award, and I'm going through it. I'm very touched by it. It's really a real page-turner because of Kim's love for animals and the special connections she has. Celebrity News Magazine said, it's a must-read masterpiece, true stories of our best friend's journey beyond death. And it's interesting. It has stories submitted by people all around the world. And there was one dog, Raja, who told the animal communicator, everyone loves me because I love everyone. So many touching thoughts in this book, Animals and the Afterlife. Go to the website. It's animalsandtheafterlife.com, animalsandtheafterlife.com. And if you go to goveganradio.com, you can listen to the interview with Kim Sheridan. That's the April 9th broadcast. And the book is available at bookstores everywhere, Amazon. So check it out, animalsandtheafterlife.com. Do animals have souls? What happens when they die? Read the book, Animals and the Afterlife.
This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden.
And today on Go Vegan with Bob Linden, we will talk again to Rin Berry. He has served as the historical advisor to the North American Vegetarian Society on the advisory board of EarthSave. And he looks at vegetarianism from a historical perspective. His books include The New Vegetarians, biographical sketches of famous contemporary vegetarians, Famous Vegetarians and Their Favorite Foods. Rin appeared on this program a while back to discuss his book, Hitler, Neither Vegetarian Nor Animal Lover. And also we discussed Food for the Gods, Vegetarianism and the World's Great Religions. So welcome again, Rin Berry. How are you?
It's a pleasure to be here, Bob. Thanks for having me on your show again.
It's terrific to have you. Now, you know, it occurs to me that vegetarianism is not generally at the forefront of history. It's not, when we think of subject matter in history, vegetarianism isn't really there. So how does one find vegetarianism in your historical investigations? Where do you find it? How do you look for it? It's not a very open subject.
No, it's very true. As they say, history is the polemics of the victor. And historians tend to be drawn from the elite castes, and they are carnivorous by choice. So they seem to have a built-in bias against vegetarianism, which is, you know, which is a problem in the case of Hitler, when I was discussing Hitler, because the most eminent authority on Hitler's life, Sir Ian Kershaw, is absolutely convinced that Hitler was a vegetarian. But, of course, historians don't really know what constitutes a vegetarian diet. Someone like Kershaw has no experience of vegetarianism, so he thinks that if you eat animal flesh a few times a week, then you can still be considered a vegetarian.
Oh, it's easy to be a vegetarian between meals.
Exactly. So historians, contemporary historians and historians for the last 500 years or so, have a carnivorous bent, and one has to read between the lines to sift out the vegetarian information.
Yeah,
and in antiquity, of course, the historians were vegetarian. People like Plutarch, who was himself an ardent vegetarian and wrote essays promoting a vegetarian diet. You know, he was the world's first biographer and wrote historical biographies.
Mm-hmm. People seem to ignore, even, I mean, historically, the Bible, right in the beginning of the Bible, in the book of Genesis 1:29, there's a bit of vegetarian history. Right?
Yeah, Genesis itself, the Genesis sagas embody a vegetarian history. The first eon, you know, the first humanity's history on Earth, Adam and Eve, is the account of vegetarians, a vegetarian lifestyle.
Mm. That quote in Genesis 1:29 says, "And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat," or food, as it might be interpreted. So where did we go wrong? Wasn't that it's right in the beginning of the Bible, and that's the basic diet right there. Some people call it the Eden diet or the Bible
exactly.
diet.
Right? So. Well, obviously we humans lapsed from that diet, and before humans strayed from vegetarianism, all the patriarchs lived to a great age. They lived into triple digits, like Methuselah. It was only after they began sacrificing and eating animals in the era ushered in by Noah that the age of and health of humans began to decline precipitously.
And
so we're violating the fundamental the prime directive in Genesis 29 and
And people often say, well, God gave us permission to eat animals, as you said, at the time of Noah.
Yeah, that's a rationale that's trotted out for humans, human carnivorism. They say that God recognized that humans were so so weak that he had to make a concession to their weakness and allow them to eat dead animals, but that doesn't say much for his opinion of humanity.
Right, and then there would be disease and war, so it wasn't a happy, it wasn't support for eating meat. It was unhappily given, apparently.
Yes, exactly. It was just a recognition of human foibles, and
Now, I had somebody contact me once who was sure that the eating of the apple in the Garden of Eden, he said it had to be meat. It couldn't have been an apple.
What? Yeah, well, the earliest traditions of that, the fall, according to the earliest accounts of the fall, the word for the forbidden food was actually a meat and not the apple. And the apple is kind of a euphemism. We find, in some of the earlier myths on which the Genesis sagas were based, Persian myths and the Babylonian myths, the forbidden food is actually animal flesh.
I have a feeling that they ate a honey-baked ham, and that's why they were banned from the...
Yeah, or the equivalent.
Yeah. And isn't it strange? I mean, it just strikes me as so strange that ham is the food of choice for Easter. I mean, is there a more forbidden food than pig?
I can't think of any. I mean, I guess any animal.
Well, any animal, I guess, right? Any animal counts. Yeah. So now, people don't seem to be going around saying, let me live a life like Jesus. Let me be a vegan animal rights activist. And yet you're here to say that Jesus was a vegan animal rights activist.
Yeah, in my book, Food for the Gods, I make a cogent case for his being an animal liberationist in the spirit of people like world teachers like the Buddha and Mahavira, Pythagoras, who spent much of their mature years trying to abolish the institution of animal sacrifice, which was sweeping the world at that time. It was institutionalized in the state religions in India, Greece, and Persia, as well as Israel. And certainly the prophets, like Isaiah and Hosea, denounced animal sacrificing and the eating of animal flesh. And I think Jesus was in a direct line from the biblical prophets who were deploring the eating of animals. And Unlike the Buddha or Mahavira, he paid for his animal activism with his life. I mean, he went into the temple, he overturned the tables of the money changers, not because he wanted to disrupt their commerce. He simply wanted to put an end to the buying and selling of animals for sacrifice. For doing that, he was brought up on charges and sentenced to death.
And
so he paid the ultimate price and was the ultimate sacrifice.
So the meat and dairy industries were very powerful even then.
Yeah, but it was had a religious aspect at that time, and it was under the auspices of the temple and the temple priests who were doing a lively business in the buying and selling of animals for sacrifice to the Jewish pilgrims at that time.
Now, how do you support your work? To what do you refer? The footnotes. It's extensive footnoting that you.
Well, I cited biblical scholars such as Johann Schoeps and. Charles Veslovic, and among others, who have done extensive research in this area. I mean, we know from the recently discovered Gospel of Judas, there were a multiplicity of Gospels that were circulating at this time. And some of the Nag Hammadi Gospels actually support the view that Jesus was a vegetarian. You know, the Gospel of the Ebionites, for example, he openly declared that he had come to that he had been incarnated, that he'd come into this world to end animal sacrifice. And because that was, so the sacrifice of animals was synonymous with meat eating at this time. And it occurred almost exclusively in religious edifices. I mean, even in ancient Greece, it was unlawful to eat animal flesh that had not been sanctified by a priest, and this is true throughout the ancient Mediterranean and in Southeast Asia, countries like India. Animal flesh was never consumed in the home; it was consumed only on religious occasions, and it had to be sanctified by the priest. Mm. And so Jesus was one of these, as I mentioned before, one of these. Figures, reformers like the Buddha, who were intent upon restoring the original vegetarianism that had existed among the Jews and among the in the Buddha's case among the indigenous Indians.
So, well, Jesus would have adhered to the strict Jewish guidelines, which would have been vegetarian as a Jewish rabbi.
Yes, he was a very observant Jew, and he was he and the sect to which he belonged, which were sort of an offshoot of the Essenes. They were called the Nazorians or Ebionites. They were intent upon restoring the original Torah. They believed in a vegetarian Torah in which animal sacrifice was non-existent. I mean, they were concerned to abolish animal sacrifice. They believed that it had been an interpolation in the text, in the original text of the Torah, passages sanctifying animal sacrifice were to be deleted, and the original vegetarian Torah, or vegan Torah, was to be restored.
And where is that from? This is something that's what recently was this another recent discovery? You're saying of?
This is from the work of Johann Schoeps, who was a biblical scholar who has done the research in this area to show that, you know, he's done research on the Ebionites, the original Ebionite community.
And so a vegan Torah has been replaced.
It hasn't actually. I mean, it can be pieced together. It hasn't actually been recovered. But you know, there, as I say, there are fragments of it in the Genesis sagas. We can see that there was a vegan imperative. You just quoted Genesis 29, and according to the Ebionites, the original Torah was corrupted by the priestly caste, by the Ebionites, by the Aaronites and the Levites, who wanted to promote the institution of animal sacrifice because it was lucrative. It reinforced their hold over the community, and of course the Ebionites and the Essenes wanted to counter this and abolish it. And Jesus is one of these anti-sacrificial figures that we find throughout the ancient world.
Right. And how is it that the new gospels keep emerging? They're newly discovered. You said there was a Gospel of Judas.
Well, it was recently translated, and it took them. It was actually discovered in 1970, and it went through a series of financial exchanges, and it took them a while to find a home. And then, once someone had bought it, this person commissioned scholars to piece it together and then translate it. And it was just recently translated from Coptic, which is an ancient Egyptian language, into English.
Hmm. So, anything in that has emerged that's surprising or interesting to you?
Well, I mean, according to the news reports, it was this particular gospel was found among the sect, this Gnostic sect called the Cainites, and there were quite a number of Gnostic sects were competing with Christianity for the public favor at this time, and they were highly critical of Christianity and Judaism itself, and they put forward Judas and Cain as actual heroes, biblical heroes. Cain, they were a vegetarian sect. Most of the Gnostics were vegetarian. And they believed that Cain was a hero worthy of our admiration because he had punished Abel for committing the first act of murder, because they felt that Abel had committed murder when he sacrificed an animal to Yahweh. Hmm. And
This is the first we're hearing of the story of Cain and Abel and Cain reacting to animal sacrifice and the murder being motivated by meat eating and animal sacrifice.
Yes, that's right. I mean, it isn't the first we've heard of it, but it brings it to the fore because it's
It's the first I've heard of it.
No, actually, you know, the Gnostics did take this view of Cain. Many of the Gnostic sects took this view of Cain, that he was not a villain, but a hero.
Wow.
Because he was instrumental, in trying to abolish animal sacrifice and discourage animal sacrifice by punishing Abel, who was a herdsman, for sacrificing the first animal, really. Yahweh, and Cain himself was the firstborn of the two, and he identified with the animal, the firstborn animal that had been sacrificed to Yahweh by Abel, and he punished Abel rather severely for for committing this act of murder. And, you know, to him, the killing of an animal was tantamount to the murder of a human. It was just a form of homicide. So he was practicing the eye for an eye.
Wow.
Lex Talionis, yeah. on his brother.
Huh. Now, so I guess thou shalt not kill was taken seriously, is taken seriously by some. What if it meant, you know, thou shalt not kill anyone?
Well, you know, it's in the West. Of course, we have Ten Commandments, and "Thou shalt not kill" ranks. I believe it's number six, and among many Christian sects, it's number six, and in others, it's number seven. But it really has a rather narrow scope. It refers mainly to members of your particular tribe. It doesn't extend to animals. But Cain, I think, took it. Rather personally, and he lashed out against his brother for having murdered a fellow creature, a firstborn.
In the
Asian religions like Buddhism and Hinduism and Jainism, the law against killing, the precept against killing, is the first commandment, and it extends. To all living creatures, not just to members of your particular tribe. So it's distinct from the Western Decalogue in that respect.
Mm.
But it's all-encompassing, so...
You think that's a good one for number one, as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely. In fact, in the New Testament, Jesus propounds his own version of the Ten Commandments, and he ranks murder as number one. So he revises the whole Decalogue from the Old Testament, and which I think shows that he's in the Buddhist tradition of reverence for life and putting animals above the buying and selling and eating of them.
Mm. So would Moses have been vegan also?
Well, according to the Ebionite. Worldview. All of the great heroes of the Torah were vegan and vegetarian, except for some villains such as David. David is not a hero in the Ebionite view because he was a militarist and he was a warrior prince. So they were very much, in the Ebionite view, they were very much to be despised. Abraham was also considered to be a villain in the Ebionite worldview because he was a polygamist and rather priapic. So.
And what about Muhammad? Would he have been vegan?
I believe he was, actually. And Food for the Gods, I make a case for his being vegan. Largely because the sect to which Jesus belonged, the Ebionites, settled in the region of the Middle East where Muhammad grew up and where he really absorbed his knowledge of the Torah and the New Testament. So he was influenced by Syriac Christians who were very close to the original Ebionites, the Jewish Christians who were vegan and anti-sacrificial. So it's quite likely that he was a vegan. And there's actually no evidence. I point out in my book, in Food for the Gods, there's no evidence that in any of the biographical literature that Muhammad consumed animal flesh. There are no all the eyewitness accounts describe his eating dates and fruit and again, very little flesh was animal flesh was available at that time. It was a luxury food in Muhammad's time. It was certainly a luxury food in Jesus' time, a very scarce commodity. Only very rich people could afford it.
Because only they can afford the medical care.
That's very true. The medical care and, the animal itself, which is, in those days they were prohibitive financially. I mean, to buy an ox for the average person was simply beyond his means. Mm. And they had the poor person sacrifice in the temple was a pigeon.
So
Jesus liberated the pigeons as well as all of the other animals that were to be sacrificed.
Great. If he could liberate them from caged hunts and Dick Cheney, we would be better off too. All the crazy shooting that goes on there. So it sounds like the world's great religious teachers may have been or were vegan. And so when people study them at the church barbecue, perhaps they should think about that.
Absolutely. Because what they're doing is a violation of all the religious teachings that were propounded by the world teachers, such as the Buddha, the Jesus, Moses.
And from meat eating stems all of our major diseases and world hunger and environmental devastation. And even as I was talking before about eating pigs and how just the gastric juices release the pathogen in the stomach. I mean, it's an intricate system that opposes meat, from our cellular level to planetary.
Yes, and I also think that it has a very untoward psychological effect when you're eating corpses. I mean, it obviously is going to have a detrimental effect on your psyche, and I think that's why the most belligerent nations on Earth are also the most carnivorous.
Right.
And we ourselves are among the most carnivorous, and we are certainly one of the leading warmongers of the era.
Yeah, well, let's vote a vegan in next time. Well, let's select a vegan.
We had a chance to, because the first first vegan presidential candidate.
Dennis Kucinich. Well, I actually believe that he won all the primaries. Now that I know about the black boxes and the election fraud, there was so much enthusiasm about him. I'm sure he won. So he's my president now. He actually won. We know all the others, just took it. Two stolen elections. So we've been talking to Rin Barry, who is a historian and author, and you might be interested in his books, including The New Vegetarians and Famous Vegetarians and Their Favorite Foods. Hitler, Neither Vegetarian Nor Animal Lover, and Food for the Gods, Vegetarianism and the World's Great Religions. We have about a minute left, so is there anything that I didn't cover that you wanted to get to?
Well, I think when we celebrate Passover or Easter, we should certainly pay tribute to all the great world teachers in the Western tradition and abstain from eating dead animals.
Absolutely.
This weekend.
Yes, indeed. So, and if people want to contact you or go to a website or get your books?
Yeah, my books are available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. I have a phone number that I can give out if
you like.
Okay, it's area code 718-622-8002, and I'll be glad to entertain any questions anyone might have.
Excellent. Okay.
And my website is vegsource.com/Barry.
Okay, vegsource.com/BERRY.
As in the fruit.
Yes, yeah. Indeed. Okay. Thanks for being with us again, Rin Barry. It was a pleasure and most enlightening.
That was an honor, as always. Okay. Thanks, Bob.
Thank you. That was Rin Barry, R-Y-N-N. Barry is B-E-R-R-Y. Okay. This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden. I invite you to support this radio show with a tax-deductible donation. All the information is at goveganradio.com. I'd like to get into our events calendar. See if we can get through the time here. The renowned Dr. Gabriel Cousins is touring throughout the Western United States conducting live workshops. Don't miss Dr. Gabriel Cousins, author of well-known books, Conscious Eating, Rainbow Green Live Food Cuisine, and Spiritual Nutrition. He's also working on an article that'll be on the website, Clearing the Dairy Confusion. Why Vegan? Clearing the Dairy Confusion. And he's in L.A. tonight. His Easter workshop is tonight, this evening, 7:30 to 10:30 p.m. at Leaf Cuisine, 11938 West Washington Boulevard in West L.A. Spiritual Nutrition for Awakening to... Spiritual Nutrition for Awakening to Liberation, The Roots of Veganism and Healthy Ethical Living in the Western World's Spiritual Traditions. Again, that's tonight, 7:30 to 10:30 at Leaf Cuisine, 11938 West Washington Boulevard in West L.A. Also, screening the demo of the new upcoming full-length documentary, Healing Naturally, The Power of the Human Spirit and Live Vegan Food. And he'll also be in Northern California starting April 28th in the Santa Rosa area. Anyway, you can go to the website. It's treeoflife.nu, as in nutrition, treeoflife.nu, or call toll-free 866-394-2520. The Bizarro Baloney Show, a comedy for a cause, created and performed by nationally syndicated award-winning cartoonist Dan Peraro, is... coming to the Bay Area, coming to Northern California. San Francisco, April 17th and 18th at The Marsh. In Mill Valley, April 19th at Throckmorton Theater. In Berkeley, April 20th at La Peña Center. And Santa Cruz, April 21st at the Rio Theater. You can go to bizarro.com, B-I-Z-A-R-R-O.com for information. If you want tickets, go to wanttickets.com, W-A-N-T-I-C-K-E-T-S.com, wanttickets.com. Let's see, World Week for Animals in Laboratories, April 23rd through the 30th. Register your event on the events page at idausa.org or see the list of events and get involved. For example, protest the madness at UCLA Monday, April 24th, 11:30 a.m. at the corner of LeConte and Westwood Boulevard. Again, that's Monday, April 24th, 11:30 a.m. at the corner of LeConte and Westwood Boulevard. We will march onto the UCLA campus there. San Francisco Vegetarian Society is co-sponsoring a leafleting event with Veggie Jews next Sunday, April 23rd, 12 noon at KFC. That's Kentucky Fried Chicken at 20th and Irving in San Francisco. Literature will be available for you to hand out to promote a healthy vegan lifestyle. After leafleting, it's vegans doing what they do best, eating. It's off to lunch at Shangri-La Vegetarian Restaurant at 2026 Irving Street at 21st Street. And it'll be a productive lunch with letter writing. Book tour lecture coming up in San Francisco with Jonathan Balcombe, author of The Pleasurable Kingdom, Animals and the Nature of Feeling Good, co-sponsored by the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, for whom he serves as animal research behavior consultant. He's the author of The Use of Animals in Higher Education, Problems, Alternatives, and Recommendations. That's Thursday, May 11th, 7 p.m., free lecture at IOA, Institute on Aging, 3600 Geary in San Francisco. You can go to sfvs.org. Also, book tour lecture Peter Singer, author of the classic Animal Liberation. He has a new book, Why Our Food Choices Matter, and he'll be in San Francisco Friday, May 12th, 7 p.m., $5 suggested donation at the Unitarian Universalist Center, Franklin and Geary. Again, go to sfvs.org for information. The 8th Annual Bowling for the Animals happens Sunday, April 30th at noon at the Vista Entertainment Center, 435 West Vista Way in Vista, San Diego area. Go to the website bowlingfortheanimals.org and get involved. Now's the time for you to get sponsors who pledge donation amounts per pin when you bowl, and you can also volunteer. So again, visit bowlingfortheanimals.org, bowlingfortheanimals.org. This year it benefits the Spay-Neuter Action Project, California Animal Association, We Companions, and San Diego Animal Advocates.
Shelly, you going to lunch?
Oh, hey, Amy. Yeah, but I wish I brought mine. Yesterday's lunch really sucked.
Oh, yeah, the worst. I wish I'd get some organic foods and have something good and good for you, too.
Yeah, right. That'd take a rebellion from someone.
Now you're talking. An organic rebellion. That's what we need.
Right on. Let's sign up some rebels right away. Sign them up for the Organic Rebellion.
Organic Rebellion, sign me up. No chemicals in our foodstuff, sign me up. For sustainable agriculture, sign me up. Come on, just give me the good stuff. We don't want no genetic engineering. We don't need irradiation or sludge. All we want to do is grow our foods naturally. Good soil, sun and water. Come on, you be the judge. So sign me up for the Organic Rebellion. Sign me up.
Sign me up for the Organic Rebellion. That's music from Billy B, my friend Billy Bramlett, whom I saw at the Natural Products Expo. He used to be with Wildwood Natural Foods. And he's come out with a song, Sign Me Up for the Organic Rebellion, Billy B, on Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Who reminds me of my old disc jockey days, rock and roll days, Z92, Omaha, and everywhere else in the country. Well, recognized in the UK as the original vegetarian dog food, enjoyed since 1980, V-Dog is now available in the U.S. Visit v-dogfood.com to order online. Over 10 generations of dogs have proven they thrive on V-Dog's vegetarian formula, with benefits ranging from improved dental hygiene, healthier skin and coat, improved digestion, improved weight management, increased energy. V-Dog Crunchy Nuggets, the leading vegetarian dog food in the UK, now available in the U.S. Call toll-free 888-280-8364. 888-280-8364. V-Dog, winner of the Prague Award from PETA, best cruelty-free dog food. No animal ingredients, no animal testing. V-Dog high-protein vegetarian dog food, established as a complete protein food with all the vitamins and minerals your dog needs to be healthy and happy. The more you know about what goes into commercial dog foods, well, the more you'll want to feed your dog V-Dog. V-Dog, approved by the Vegetarian Society, available in 5.5-pound or 33-pound bags. Shipping is free. Order online at v-dogfood.com. V-dogfood.com or call 888-280-8364, 888-280-8364.
Still eating meat? How 20th century?
Yeah, still eating meat, still eating fish, thinking you're getting your omega-3s from fish? Ooh, well, then you're actually depleting the oceans of marine life. And fish and fish oils often contain mercury and heavy metals and PCBs and other toxins that accumulate in marine environments. But now you can benefit from the original vegan omega-3 DHA supplement, Omega Zen 3 from Nutru, available at all Southern California Whole Foods markets. It provides you with your omega-3s in an all-natural, once-a-day formulation derived from natural plant-based marine sources, grown in controlled, pollution-free conditions in a totally vegan format, no animal contaminants. In fact, Nutru's Omega Zen 3 has been evaluated by the Environmental Defense Organization's Oceans Program as a best choice product, with the results showing no mercury, no PCBs, no dioxins or other similar contaminants, okay? DHA is a long-chain omega-3 fatty acid considered a critical nutrient, one of the main components of the brain required for functioning of all neural systems, including vision. In studies, low levels of DHA have been found in persons with heart disease, high blood pressure, cancer, Alzheimer's, depression, ADD, insomnia, stress, hyperactivity, dyslexia, with DHA supplementation improving these conditions. So I recommend you check out Omega Zen 3 from Nutru. The Food and Drug Administration has allowed Nutru to put on its Omega Zen 3 label. Omega-3, such as EPA and DHA, have been the subject of considerable scientific research of their beneficial effects in terms of cardiovascular system, central nervous system, and other major bodily symptoms. It's Omega Zen 3 from Nutru. Omega Zen 3 at Whole Foods, any Whole Foods in Southern California. Head on over there and enjoy the benefits of Omega Zen 3 from Nutru, a vegan company committed to the ethical treatment of animals, energy conservation, recycling, and lower patterns of consumption.
Vegans are number one at number two. Meat makes you constipated.
That's for sure. Spread and dip. No, that's not some new vegan calisthenics. It's what we've been enjoying lately from Toby's Family Foods. Anyone who has listened to Go Vegan knows what a foodie I am. I love discovering great new vegan foods. And I wandered through the aisles of a Whole Foods. I saw four rows of Toby's tofu pate. I said, wow, if they give this much space, it must be good. And I tried the garlic and red pepper, the roasted garlic and red pepper, the mild jalapeno, the classic lemon dill, and martini olive. All of those are vegans. I later found out that the original variety is not suitable for vegans, but those are the four vegan varieties. They're totally delicious. Chips are calling out the name Toby. So are bagels, and it's wonderful in sandwiches. So I say check them out, and crackers and chips at your parties. You'll want this wonderful spread and dip at all your gatherings. And take it from me, you'll just have to try Toby's Pate Spread and Dip. And yes, I said, try it. Take it from me. It's free. Just email info@tobysfamilyfoods.com. That's info@tobysfamilyfoods.com, or call 800-600-8638. 800-600-TOFU for your free container. Remember, the original, not suitable for vegans, but the other four are, and you'll love them.
Meat cuts life short. I don't want my life cut short or the animals.
Well, here's a novel idea. It's an animal rights novel. It's called Animal Instinct. The author is Dorothy H. Hayes, herself a vegan for 20 years, a former journalist, staff writer, and public relations director for a national animal protection organization. And her novel, Animal Instinct, is the story of a savvy reporter waking up to her true calling. And, there are 5-star reviews. I say go to the website, animalinstinctnovel.com. AnimalInstinctNovel.com. A reader in Sarasota said, I was completely engrossed in this book. Everyone can identify with the story. A divorce, starting over, finding new meaning in life, and a crazy boss. I must say that I got a gut-wrenching feeling in my stomach whenever I read about the abuse some animals suffer. However, the plight of the animals does not overshadow the storyline. readers are giving it 5-star reviews. A reader in Jamestown, Rhode Island said, want to remember how passion feels? This book will relight those flames, whatever your secret or not so secret cause may be. Absolutely energizing. That's what this book is. It's Animal Instinct, animalinstinctnovel.com. Order the book. You'll love it, and you'll recognize animal rights characters, people in the movement. Check it out. Thanks for listening to Go Vegan with Bob Linden.